Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary with hosts Mary Ann Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 and streaming on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Mary Ann Jepson, Catholic therapist and founder of Covenant Integrative Counseling Services in Columbus, Ohio. Perhaps my favorite book of the Bible is the Gospel of St. John. There's so much depth and beauty in its literary, symbolic, and theological reflection. The signs and works of Jesus are revealed in the presence of his disciples in the upper room before his passion and death. He then discusses the reality of things to come. As his death is closely upon him, he tells his disciples he will be departing, but to have hope, not despair, because the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will come. In John 16:33, he says to them, "I have told you all this so that you might have peace in me. In the world, you will have trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world." Christ's passion and death offers us the perfect template for the lesser sufferings we each will experience in our lives and how we might work through those sufferings only through his grace and blessing. My guests today are a young couple who know quite a bit about suffering, and I'm so happy they are here with us to share their very own experience of how they united their sufferings with Christ's. And really, in the end, and I think I can speak for them, and we'll hear more from them about this, I think in the end they would say that they have really been greatly blessed in the process. We're just about to hear from them, so I won't really take too much liberty with that. I'm just going to allow them to tell their own story because it's a very, they've been through a lot of sadness and suffering, and there's much to learn from them in their short lives already. So I welcome Lynn and Ben Harting. They are parishioners of St. John Newman, where I have a counseling practice as well. So it's nice to actually see you, meet you here at St. Gabriel Radio. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you
for having us.
Thank you.
So, your story starts off, well, it probably starts way, way, way before this, but where I would like to start the story that we tell today is with the conception and pregnancy of your fourth child. You have five children. Mm-hmm. This was your fourth child, and Lynn, maybe it's best if you can start talking about the pregnancy and what really happened. You had some insight or some, as mother's instincts are, you had some instinct during that pregnancy that it was different than the first three. So would you take it from there?
This was dating back to 2013. We conceived our fourth child around September of 2012, actually, and then leading into 2013. As the pregnancy went on, having it been our fourth child, I just had this mother's intuition that things were not okay around that 10 to 12 week mark. Didn't know what it was, just thought, just something's not right. So when you get to your 20 week ultrasound, you know, you're awaiting that wonderful, wonderful time. And we actually ended up bringing our other three children with us and my niece as well, because I was watching her at the time. We have our four little kids in the same room. It's a teeny tiny little room. And the ultrasound tech puts the sonogram up there, and instantly it was just quietness. I mean, it was just, I got this pit in my stomach that something was really wrong. And from her reaction, she actually ran out, went to get our doctor. Our doctor came in and took one look at the baby and said, "I'm 99.9% sure that this is a Potter's syndrome baby." And what Potter's syndrome is there are no kidneys and no bladder that forms around that 8 to 10 week gestation period in my womb. And he said, he was very matter of fact. He said, "I know that this is 100% fatal, and there's nothing we can do to save your child." Here I am sitting there thinking
with four children.
Our three and my niece.
And your niece.
And
you were there, Ben, too. You were in there.
Yeah, I distinctly remember being in the room, and it was, it's hard to describe. It's like a juggling feeling almost, because I'm breaking, my wife is breaking, my three children were old enough at least to realize what was going on, that something is wrong. This mm-hmm. is not what we had talked about and talked up for several weeks beforehand.
Yeah. Right.
And it was hard.
Yeah.
So we went about, and our doctor was very matter of fact and said, I need to send you on to a neonatologist, even mm-hmm. though I'm almost certain this is what we're facing. Would you like that tomorrow or a week from now to process this? And we're both like, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, we're on a mm-hmm. need to know basis.
Sure.
And, you know, we'll go whenever we need to go. So he got us an appointment the next day. Call my mother. We're frantic. You know, we just needed time. We needed time to get ourselves together. And so she came and cared for the kids, and Ben and I were able to get an email sent out to the family immediately. You know, Ben, we wasted no time. It was like, we need prayers, and we need
sure.
prayers right now.
Yeah.
We're facing a very hard situation come tomorrow when we actually meet with a specialist. So we go the next day. I'll never forget. It was 1:30 appointment. We walk into that hospital, and he once again reiterated, yes, it is Potter syndrome, 100% fatal, and you have 5 days to make the decision. Our first option was abortion. And that hurt.
He actually said to you,
yeah.
your first option is abortion.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So Ben and I, we were speechless. We mm-hmm. didn't know what to say. That was never an option for us, no matter whether this child had no kidneys or was Downs or whatever it would have been. Obviously, ours was Potter's. Would have never have been an abortion. So that hurt really, really bad. And to be very honest, that was just an absolute blur the rest of the 30 minutes that we were there, because I feel like we jumped ship as fast as we could and got out.
Did the doctor at that time offer you any other options besides abortion, or was it just like, that's what it is and you've got 5 days to decide because you have to do it by
a certain
number of weeks?
Okay.
And
mm-hmm.
I distinctly remember him saying, I don't know the exact numbers when it's legal or
yeah,
not,
yeah.
but it's right around 22 weeks. And I remember him looking at us and saying that you're not at 20 weeks, you're beyond 20 weeks, so you have to make a decision like this weekend. And it was a Friday.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
In order to do it. And I was in so much pain, and you know, I'm a bigger guy. I remember it running through my head like, I'm gonna hurt you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a pretty gentle guy.
Yeah, you look like one.
Like,
yeah.
And I was full of fury.
Mm-hmm. This man just offered to kill your child.
Right.
Yeah, so who wouldn't want to kick him or something? Or that
right.
would be your first instinct of
now,
protection.
Now, he did go on after mm-hmm. that, but mm-hmm. very much similar to Lynn's experience, it is a blur. I know we talked for another, I don't know, probably 20 minutes maybe. And
okay.
And we talked about the other options, but
yeah.
just the way it was approached mm-hmm. brought so much, I mean, it scarred us.
Anger.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Yeah. And this was in front of your other children? No, you didn't take your other children. Okay.
No.
Right. So take us past that then. What were the next steps after that visit with him? Because you left in anger and in a blur, in a real fog.
Lost.
You had to decide together, you know.
Pick ourselves up.
Yeah,
how are we gonna move on? How are we gonna continue on in this pregnancy?
Because right.
there was no question in
yeah.
our faith and in our
yes.
journey. Not
right.
even an option for us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we went home that night. I remember just clinging to one another. It was mm-hmm. it was mm-hmm. just, you couldn't let each other go. We were gonna get through this together.
Yeah.
So the first place we went to was the internet, because we really had known too many people. Ben's sister unfortunately lost a child several years ago, 20 mm-hmm. plus years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And back then it was just a little different, you know? So we took this upon ourselves to just do the research. So we did the research. We found this amazing book called I Will Carry You. Ben, can you please tell the author? Do you remember her name?
Angie Smith.
Thank you. Oh. Angie Smith. Fantastic book. A book that I went to bed at night reading, crying, living every moment with her through our James, through the journey of the next several months.
The book is about her journey of carrying her child who had a life-threatening.
Mm-hmm.
And probably she had been advised to abort that child as
Absolutely.
Well. Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
same story.
I will carry
story.
You.
I will
mm-hmm.
carry you. So with that, you know, that was very special to me. I like I said, fantastic book. Highly recommend it to anybody. And the other thing was, is you cling to your family. Mm-hmm. And you cling to your family who were going to walk each step of the way with us. So we had family come into town that weekend to support us. The next big support system, I would say, would have been our church friends. Mm-hmm. We had people emailing us, and I'll never forget the two saints. Saint Philomena is the patron saint for babies. And St. Gerard is the patron saint for mothers, mm-hmm. Of expectant mothers. So we immediately had those flooding into us, whether it was a phone call or an email or what have you. And every single day, those were the prayers to those two particular saints,
right.
With our children. And our children now, to this day, will never forget those two saints.
How beautiful.
You know, so it was amazing how many people came flooding to us.
I'm talking with Lynn and Ben Harting. They are sharing their story of sadness and suffering over a traumatic experience they had being told that their baby who had Potter's syndrome mm-hmm. at about 22 weeks of pregnancy needed to be aborted. That was their first option. Didn't need to be aborted, but that's what the doctor told them. Their first option was abortion. Mm-hmm. Okay. Take it for there then, please.
Okay, so. Well, I mean, after that, it was, you know, we had that support system, Marianne, that then in the faith that really we had worked on for the first, how long were we married at the time? Probably 8 years, 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we continued down the path and tried to just be faithful. I mean, mm-hmm. tried to say, okay, what would the Lord want us to do? What would our parents want us to do? We reached out. We had others who reached out to us who had lost children. I distinctly remember sitting down with a couple from where we had grown up in Western Ohio, and they had actually had two Potter syndrome babies. And it was kind of God's blessing. And it's amazing as you look back in time in your life how different things lined up. My sister had just started to work for this doctor, and it was a family practice physician. She had worked for another doctor for a long time, over 20 years. And she had started to work for this doctor just probably 6 months before this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And when he heard about it, he goes, "You got to meet my friend, because my friend has been through this twice." And it was like God had put my sister, and that was the sister who had also gone through the loss of her own child.
Mm-hmm.
So we sat, and I remember that conversation, because I still had so much, I had a lot of anger mm-hmm. at God, to be perfectly honest. And because, you know, as a father, I mean, my job is to protect my family. And this was completely out of my hands.
Mm-hmm.
I could do nothing about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember staying up all hours of the night, waking up 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, staying up literally all night sometimes, just searching the internet, trying to find a doctor anywhere that would offer any hope at all. And it's just, it wasn't to be had.
But the two of you really handled this together with all of the support from your great family and community members. Take us then, you went through this pregnancy together, and actually, if I can jump in and mention this, Ben, you just chronicled this whole story in a book that you authored. It's called Return to the Altar, A Sacred Journey Through Grief and Joy. Again, the author sitting right across from me is Benjamin Hartings, and I do believe that this book can be acquired through Amazon, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
It's well worth it for anybody who might be experiencing this same journey of grief, that hopefully in the end you can get to the joy part of this by having such a great community around you, great family, and really, really being together through this. Take us to the delivery room. Tell us what happened then.
Correct. I had been laboring, starting back a little bit, our doctor had said we needed to do a plan, a birthing plan.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, what is a birthing plan? You know, well, we had all these doctors surrounding us, chaplains, our priest, our deacon had come. Wonderful experience, very hard to develop, though, and know that we were essentially picking our child's birth date and death date together, mm-hmm. and as a group, and we had chosen June 8th, 2013, as the date. It was a Saturday morning.
So you would be induced.
Correct. I was mm-hmm. going to be induced. I have hypertension, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. the doctor said it's going to be need to be time by mm-hmm. June 8th. That was going to be the birth date / death date of our son, James.
And that would have been about at what? 36 weeks?
36
and a half weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So you carried you carried dear James for 36 weeks and really got to know him and to mm-hmm. experience his movements. And
yes, and absolutely.
So did your other children.
Mm-hmm. It was a journey.
Yes, together.
Lots and
yes.
lots of pictures yes, and wonderful
yes.
things.
Mm-hmm.
But
and a lot of which we do
chronicle
in the book. I mean, little things that we did along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was amazing in that delivery room. You know, we did that birth plan, and my wife and I remember us talking about it and thinking how much the community had done for us. And when I say the community, I'm going to say our family,
mm-hmm.
and really the community, but
sure,
our family,
sure.
that, you know, within the birth plan, we decided, you know, we wanted to invite them.
Mm-hmm.
And
to meet James.
Yes.
Yes.
To absolutely meet James.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm from a family of, I got 9 brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
So my whole family was there, and at some point, I don't know who counted or how it was counted, but over 60 people were
incredible.
Were there
incredible?
And the hospital was really great to us because
mm-hmm.
they had a delivery room right next door. They'd reserved a room for my family, and that morning, it was just a really, I don't know. It's one of those mornings that. You can't really describe in words, because the way James was born, we didn't expect he would actually survive the labor. He did.
Yes.
And not only did he just survive the labor process, but you know he should have died shortly after he was born,
mm-hmm.
Due to some of the complications of Potter's syndrome, but. Our doctor has been practicing, and he's a faithful Catholic physician, has been practicing for a long time. And he, James actually lived 90 minutes.
That is so beautiful. There was a special circumstance, too, with all of that. Do you feel comfortable talking about the after the birth and how would you, because I think that's a pretty, pretty awesome thing that your doctor did.
He ended up allowing all the family to come through and see James alive.
Yeah.
And he was actually attached to my cord for those 90 minutes, almost 90 minutes
it's amazing.
of his life, with here on earth on my chest the entire time. And, you know, normally you'd clamp it and you're going to cut the cord. And of that time we got with him, it was just a beautiful thing that he was able to stay attached to my cord. Obviously, my doctor looking very closely for my health.
Yeah.
And everybody was able to see him vibrantly living. And then, obviously, everybody was able to stay and see life and death on the same day.
Yeah.
Which was a beautiful thing.
That's a beautiful thing. And boy, it's a tough call here. You know, I know there's a lot more to talk about James and his birth. I want to refer people to Ben Hartings' book. that chronicles this journey. If you want more information on this, it's Return to the Altar, A Sacred Journey Through Grief and Joy. You're listening to The Family Sanctuary. This is Mary Ann Jepson, and I'm here with Lynn and Ben Hartings right now telling their story. The story of challenges and struggles and suffering doesn't really end with James there and his birth and death. The beautiful part is having everyone there around you and everyone being allowed to get to know James while he, you know, to touch him, to feel him, to see the vibrancy of that child, you know, and all for that precious time that you had with him. And you stayed in the hospital the rest of that. Nobody was rushing you out of there.
No.
You did take up a challenge with the hospital after that, or maybe it was in the process about being offered your first option of abortion. We will say that. You challenged the hospital on that, and they heard you. And I think,
things
I hope,
changed. And
things changed.
Yes.
So that's the good news with that one.
Mm-hmm.
The next part of this story is the challenge that you're moving along. You're trying to recover or journey through the grief. Grief takes time.
Time, yes.
What's the next thing that happened just a few months later?
A few months after, we were in this journey, and we were, as you say, Marian, journeying through grief, and it is a journey, and it's, you know, as we chronicle in the book, this whole journey, we didn't anticipate the rapid turn that it would take, because only 3 months after James was born and passed away, we got hit out of left field, and actually found that I had cancer. And had cancer in my lymph nodes, and then had surgery.
It was stage 3A, right?
Yeah, cancer,
mm-hmm.
And had surgery for that. And actually, shortly after that surgery, found that I actually had a second form of cancer too. So I actually ended up with, I had two forms of cancer heading into the Christmas season after James had passed away. And I mean, that was a complete shock.
So take us a little bit. I just wish we had so much more time. If you could tell just in a couple minutes maybe what that process was for you emotionally and even medically, how that went. And then I want to get to the good part of,
right,
you know, the hope.
Well, to be brief, I mean, it was the two forms of cancer. I had chemotherapy. And by God's grace and the prayers of the many, and I would include my own son in that.
Oh yes, James.
In James, mm-hmm. That, you know, I was healed through that. But it was the family support and the community, and we decided early on in that journey that, you know, statistics would say, your account's right, statistics would say, and we had read this, that we were at risk as a couple and as a family,
mm-hmm.
to fracture in this stress. And we decided we're clinging to each other and we're clinging to Jesus,
mm-hmm.
to get through this.
Good for you. And you must have felt moments of despair when you were hit with a cancer diagnosis, right? Like, how do you cling to Jesus? And who else do you have to cling to each other? You have each other,
I mean,
and you have Jesus.
Stopped it's, for James, yeah. And our focus directly turned to Ben, and our poor, sweet other three children at home,
yeah.
Suffered greatly as well, because
yeah,
daddy is so sick.
Yeah.
We lost our brother, mm-hmm. and mommy's taking care of daddy and not paying any attention to us.
Yeah.
And so we just had this wonderful support system around us through, mm-hmm. family and, like I said, friends that came and took care of our kids so that him and I could focus on each other,
right.
And allowing him to heal as much time as he needed.
So as you get past all of that, you two sit across the table from me here, and your faith is very deep. That's obvious. You have a sense of joy and peace about you. You didn't, and this was all told in a matter of 3 years. This story started in end of 2012 when you conceived James. It went through 2013, 2014. Here we are in 2016. You're looking pretty darn good. What is...
We had a moment. It was when I found that I had a second form of cancer. It was December the 2nd. I can tell you the date. I could tell you exactly where I was standing in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And back to that rage, anger within mm-hmm. me,
yeah.
you know, and I wanted to control it. And I remember standing in that room, and I remember clinging to my wife, and it was like the Holy Spirit bathed me.
Oh, beautiful.
And he said, this is in my mind. I can almost like audibly hear the Spirit speaking to me that this is not okay. This is like this human worldly situation that you're in
yes.
is not okay,
mm-hmm.
but I got it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggled with that. But as I've reflected more and more on that, Marianne, it is. And that's what my wife and I lean on,
mm-hmm.
that it is going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
That the ultimate end, the end of this earthly journey, this suffering, that all suffering is for a divine purpose.
Yes.
And we truly believe that.
Mm-hmm.
We lived it. And that's the joy that's deep within us.
Mm-hmm.
That we lived it, got through it, and the Spirit has been there for us.
And that's, you know, that really kind of ties it all back to the very beginning when I of the show, when I quoted John 16:33, when he says to his disciples, I've told you this, that you might have peace in me. In the world you will have trouble, but take courage, I have conquered the world. He is the one that has us all covered. And if you want to learn more about the Hartings' wonderful story of processing through the grief and joy by hanging on to Christ. Again, it's Return to the Altar, A Sacred Journey Through Grief and Joy. You can get that on Amazon, and I'll tell you what, I'm gonna blow this out of the water right now. Ben has another book coming out. He's laughing because it's not published yet. Thanks so much for joining us. That's going to be his story about the cancer. And it's been great having you with us again, Ben and Lynn Hartings. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you
can
very
catch
much.
Us on the Family Sanctuary every Monday at 12:30 and Saturday at 2 p.m. Be sure to tune in. Until then, God bless.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Marianne Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com.